There was about 40 to 50 people that we gathered in the center of the village. Men, women, children, babies. We all huddled them up. Lieutenant Calley started shooting them. He told me to start shooting, so I started shooting. I poured about 4 clips into the group. I fired them on automatic. You just spray the area so you can't know how many you killed. I must have killed about 10 or 15 of them. After I'd done it, I felt good. But later on that day, it started getting to me. It just seemed like the natural thing to do at the time.
Last train to Nuremberg. Last train to Nuremberg. Last train to Nuremberg. All on board. Do I see Lieutenant Calley? Do I see Captain Medina? Do I see General Coster and all his crew? Do I see President Nixon? Do I see both houses of Congress? Do I see the voters, me and you? Last train to Nuremberg. Last train to Nuremberg. Last train to Nuremberg. All on board. Last train to Nuremberg. Last train to Nuremberg. Last train to Nuremberg. All on board. Who held the rifle? Who gave the order? Who planned the campaign to lay waste the land? Who manufactured the bullet? Who paid the taxes? Tell me, is this blood upon my hand? Last train to Nuremberg. Last train to Nuremberg. Last train to Nuremberg. All on board. Last train to Nuremberg. Last train to Nuremberg. Last train to Nuremberg. All on board.
Good morning, or good evening, as the case may be, and Happy New Year. Although, by the time you hear this, it may already be well into the new year, 2002. Did I say my name was Paul Aronson? Well, it's still the same. And this is Chocopol News, Tokyo Progressive's Chocopol News radio version. And today, I'd like to tell you a story that was on my website at the end of the year. At that time, around December 28th, I was in Kyobashi, Tokyo, around 5 p.m. and looked up to see helicopters, about 4, 5, 8, 10, circling overhead. Were they police? Newscopters? Was there a fire or a terrorist attack? Well, stopping in for coffee on my way home, I wondered if they could be there when I exited the shop, and in fact they were 30 minutes later. They followed me, or so it seemed, all the way to Ginza Station, which is a 20-minute walk. But when I got out at Ikebukuro Station 30 minutes later, they were still there. And so I called a friend who reported that it might be Sachio Nomura, better known as Sachi, who was a favorite of the scandal newspapers and wide shows, or gossip programs, as they call them here. Also happens to be the wife of the manager of the Hanshin Tigers. I guess he just resigned. In any case, my friend said she was... Nomura was getting out on bail because she was arrested in a tax scandal case. That might be the reason for the helicopters, but it also could be related to the trial of one of the Om Shinrikyo cult members. And it wasn't until later that evening that I found out indeed it was this woman, Sachio Nomura. And in all likelihood, the helicopters that I saw were from the news media. The news media and the wide shows use the same staff, I'm sure. excuse me. And my thoughts were that, you know, at the same time, Japan's politicians and bureaucrats play with people's lives, but the news media doesn't give a damn about it. For example, mad cow disease could still kill many people here, but the media paid more attention to this... woman who doesn't mean anything except to sell scandal newspapers and things like that. In fact, the media covered up news that the Japanese government had asked the EU, the European Commission, to hold back a report this past summer, which showed that Japan was at a moderate risk from mad cow disease. In other words, they tried to hide it from us. And in this endeavor, they were insisted by the Japanese news media. Of course, the United States news media is not any better, and you can If you access the website at http://tokyoprogressive.org, you'll see that we've been talking about the U.S. media quite a bit. Still, the Japanese media, for the most part, almost exclusively, I think only the Japan Times, an English paper, covered this cover-up of the Mad Cow scandal in its early stages. In my opinion, it makes the media part of the crime, and if anyone dies of mad cow disease, the blood will be on the hands of the various news media such as the Asahi, the Yomiuri, Sankei, Mainichi, NHK2. They have such vast resources, and yet they did not reveal half the information that a student of mine did way back this past summer when he found information about the cover-up and he informed the class. All this information came from sources outside Japan. And so then I was really depressed that the hypocrites at Kyoto News, for example, who have covered up this and other stories, the Mad Cow and other stories, are now finally covering the story of Mad Cow disease, now that a few cows have been infected and the Japanese government has been caught with its pants down, so to speak. And yet they didn't report anything when it might have mattered more. And here was this stupid story about the Sachi Nomura getting all this attention, all these helicopters, and that just made me sick. And then I think, well, Westerners here tend to criticize things Japanese and have a blind spot to the same phenomenon that happened in the U.S. or other countries. So, for example, people say, it's the Kisha clubs, the reporters' clubs. These are clubs that are usually run by government ministries, for example, which invite reporters from various news media if they follow certain guidelines, which generally mean to not report what they're not supposed to report. Now, in the U.S., we have the same thing. It's just not called Kisha clubs. But you know from a press conference that the important questions never get asked. For example, the media pretty much controls what we hear and what we don't hear. And we can see, for example, in the U.S. how the New York Times has been complicit in making U.S. murder in Afghanistan and Iraq look like some sort of humanitarian gesture. So because they just don't report the news, or they put it on page 375 or whatever way back in the end. So we can get all high and mighty about how the Japanese press is restricted and controlled, but in fact it's the same outside of Japan. Perhaps UK and other places it's a little bit better. They have The Guardian, The Observer, but still, where do you get your news? It controls what you know and what you don't know. And it's mostly self-censorship. So, in any case, this is an example of one of the things that appeared in my website recently. And I would like to tell you about a little bit more in a minute, but let's listen to some music.
It's time to end welfare as we know it and get those greedy chiselers off the dole. It's time to end welfare as we know it. Teach them a little self-control. For far too long we've allowed these corporate hogs to belly up to the public trough. No more welfare as we know it. No more handouts, cut them off. Now we should all be irate at this huge welfare state right here in this mightiest of nations. AFDC is disgraceful to me. I'm talking aid for dependent corporations. Free enterprise, ha, the cruelest of lies. It cost us $200 billion just last year. If they paid their fair share, we'd have billions to spare. It's time to tell them the buck stops here. Let's consider Charlie Hurwitz, the CEO at Maxam, holding Redwood Forests hostage in a vicious little tax scam. It's clear cut we picked up the tab for Charlie's union busting, then paid him to pollute our water. Jesus, that's disgusting. Charlie won't repay $500 million that he stole from a Houston SNL. What say we kick him off the dole? It's time to end welfare as we know it and get those greedy chiselers off the dole. It's time to end welfare as we know it. Teach them a little self-control. For far too long we've allowed these corporate hogs to belly up to the public trough. No more welfare as we know it. No more handouts, cut them off. That Taco Bell Chihuahua begs for bucks for Frito-Lay. And Poppin' Fresh from Pillsbury needs more dough every day. That thief Ronald McDonald and his sidekick Mayor McCheesy burglarize our treasury in ways that make me queasy. That nasty little mermaid took tax dollars overseas to hire thugs to bring poor Haitian workers to their knees. It's time to end welfare as we know it and get those greedy chiselers off the dole. It's time to end welfare as we know it. Teach them a little self-control. For far too long we've allowed these corporate hogs to belly up to the public trough. No more welfare as we know it. No more handouts. Cut them off. They've been picking every pocket here from sea to shining sea. We must intervene to break this cycle of dependency. ADM and Cargill, General Motors, Ford and Boeing, ITT and Lockheed, and that welfare line keeps growing, growing, growing. Now Congress says we can't afford to subsidize the needy, but before we slash the safety net, let's tell the truly greedy. We're gonna end welfare as we know it and get those greedy chiselers off the dole. We're gonna end welfare as we know it. Teach them a little self-control. For far too long we've allowed these corporate hogs to belly up to the public trough. No more welfare as we know it. No more handouts, cut them off.
It's for their own good.
No more handouts, cut them off.
And we mean business.
No more handouts. No more handouts, cut them off.
That was Anne Feeney doing the corporate welfare song. Welfare is okay as long as it's for the rich, not the poor, right? Especially not the non-white poor. I have to thank my friend Chuck, Charles Rosina in Boston, who has the show No Censorship Radio on WMBR MIT, for turning me on to these songs. There are a lot of them that, for example, David Rovics, who I've played a few times on the show, didn't know about him until Charles introduced me to him, and Anne Feeney's the same, and later on we'll hear someone else, Dar Williams. Right now, though, I'd like to turn to something that just came to me. I'd like to tell you about an email that I got the other day from a woman named Junko Okura, from the Jubilee Kyushu on World Debt and Poverty Group. She's going to be giving a talk in February on Japanese ODA. And she says, for example, this is a little bit long, but I think it's quite important. And I'll be giving you some contact information later. She says, for example, that Japanese government policies have a big influence on the debt burden of developing countries. Talking about ODA, for example, or debt reduction, sometimes called debt cancellation. And she says, for example, that almost half of the Japanese ODA consists of onerous yen loans. Japan's held the top position of donor in the world for 10 or 11 years, and making Japan, in fact, the top creditor in the world. And in the face of criticism that the proportion of loans to actual aid is quite big in Japan's case, the Japanese government has given excuses such as, well, this is to help debtor countries to become more financially independent, or we can only give loans because we can't afford such large funds for construction of the infrastructure. But she points out that ODA basically mainly benefits Japanese enterprises. ODA was supposed to be for economic recovery of Asia after World War II, in lieu of making reparations to them. But if we look at the words or the language of Japanese politicians at that time, It's quite clear that they had the intention of using ODA as a means to give the yen more power and to give Japanese enterprises a boost. So ODA is supposed to be given to developing countries only when the governments of developing countries request funds for projects or political programs. But actually, Japanese consulting firms go to developing countries and quote-unquote discover projects whose costs are suitable to the ODA budget. So you can see why most of this ODA goes into things such as dams, industrial roads, and factory zones. She goes on, she gives lots of examples. Recently, the Japanese government set up a new category called environmental projects, and they decided that only Japanese companies can accept these projects. But there is no clear standard what kind of project is considered environmentally friendly. So, for example, the second phase of the construction of the Sondo Miryu hydropower plant in Kenya, which is going to be funded by Japanese ODA, is categorized as an environmental project. And her group asked the Japanese government why it's included in this category, and the answer was, well, it's a hydropower plant and it will not emit CO2, and so it will help to protect the environment. When Japanese companies take such orders, the project naturally costs more than if the local company does the job. For example, personnel expenses, cost of transportation, and her group has information that the prices for Japanese goods are much more expensive than normal prices in Japan when developing countries purchase them using ODA. So think about this again, if this is really affecting the people in those countries in any beneficial way. She said also that in Japan, there are no laws which regulate Japanese ODA policies. Even though the Japanese government has some principles, so-called tatemai principles, I guess you'd say, environmental conservation and development should be pursued in tandem, they say. Any use of ODA for military purposes or for aggravation of international conflict should be avoided, etc., etc. But these principles have not been kept, she says. For example, Japan gave financial assistance to Marcos in the Philippines and Suharto in Indonesia, whose troops were committing massacres in East Timor. And now it's giving big amounts in grants to Myanmar, which is under a military regime. There is no evidence that this money is not being appropriated for military purposes. Also, there's no evaluation of the completed projects that ODA pays for. There are many examples where the local people are affected by dams which have been funded by Japanese ODA, but they didn't get any compensation or they lost their livelihood, while the electricity which is generated by the dams is sent to factories producing articles to be exported to Japan. And she's got so much information here. I hope we can have her on the show, or maybe we can talk about it next time. But in any case, they need your help. And I think there are a lot of people listening to this show, especially right here in Japan, who could give some help. For example, Jubilee Kyushu is now collecting signatures for a petition to call on the Japanese government to stop the ODA dam project in Kenya, because they don't believe this dam is going to work efficiently. And conversely, a lot of people are going to lose their livelihood, and the Kenyan people will owe $2 million debt for this project. The petition's purpose is to put pressure on the government, and in the same way, it's a good way to let many people know about the issue. So, I'd like to give you some context. Telephone, 93-244-0284. Fax is 93-201-8398. If you're calling from out of the area, area code is 93. Email jubileeandwindfarm.co.jp. That's jubilee@windfarm.co.jp. They also have a website, which is https://www.windfarm.co.jp/members/jubilee. There's also a related group in Tokyo, the Network on Debt and Poverty. I'll just give their telephone number, which is at 03-5209-3455. Fax is 03-5209-3453. Email debtnetjapan@jca.apc.org. If you're in the Kansai area, there's Jubilee Kansai, 075-391-1393. And let's see, I'd like to also give you their email, which is ksatoshi, K-S-A-T-O-S-H-I, at D, as in David, D4.dion, D-I-O-N, dot N-E, dot J-P. Back to the Kyushu, Ghibli Kyushu group. When you call them, I said that the area code is 93. I believe if you're calling from within Japan, you have to do 093. So that would be telephone 093-244-0284. This is the Ghibli Kyushu on World Debt and Poverty. I want to thank you for joining us again and remind you that we're available on the web at http://tokyoprogressive.org. You can email us at Paul, P-A-U-L, at same address, tokyoprogressive.org. And we're especially interested in interviewing people, particularly in Japan, who are involved in various social actions, projects, environmentalism, anti-war, anti-racism, that kind of thing. Of course, we're interested in people around the world, especially if we can facilitate putting people together so that people can take action wherever they are in concert to enable social change. So, if you are interested, let us know what you do and we'll see if we can set something up. Of course, I can't fly around the world, so we can do it by email or by tape, something like that. I'd like to close now by playing another person who is new to me. I don't know if she's new to you, but she's new to me. Her name, Dar Williams, and she sings Play the Greed.
Finally learned that the market's righteous holler comes from a pale face on a paper dollar. And I bet you got a few bucks in your hip wallet, so throw a tiny wrench in the fiber optic wires. Morals are cheap and you can be the buyers. We can let them poison and pillage foreign lands, or we can play the greed right into our hands. Says it can't happen here. Things will turn around just as sure as they said it. Hell, things change and they all take credit. So ask why there's only 40 songs on a station. Ask your cafe about their coffee's plantation. Why is it Arizona hasn't gone solar? And tell your print shop that hemp grows faster. And it doesn't mean a backroom clear-cut disaster. The market doesn't care, but it wants to understand. And you can play the greed right into your hands. Oh, smiling man says it can't happen here. Channel 4 says it can't happen here. Things will turn around just as sure as they said it. Your pennies and do your battle. Chairman will start quoting Chief Seattle and put little tree frogs on their letterhead. Cause the market resists and the market absorbs with a five-pointed leaf on the cover of Forbes. Yeah, the very same people turn valleys to dams. Yeah, these are the ones that drain prairies to sand. And they just assume you didn't know this land is your land, but said it. Hell, things change and they'll always take the credit. Oh, 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 oh. Hell, the change comes, let's let